Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. It's time for some dirty little secrets, ideas that can help you with design. And before I get into it all, though, I want to announce that we are giving away a few prize packs this show for the next 2 hours. We have gift certificates for Rudy's Bar and Grill that's located on Madison between Chicago and Wabash. And we also have prize packs for Paisano's Pizza and Pasta, voted number one by the Oprah Show. You can visit them at line at paisanoschicago.com. So those are the two gifts we'll be giving away. And I believe what I'd like to do, Elif, is, since our show is dedicated to inspiration and those who inspire others, we'd love to hear a story of those who inspire you. You know, it could be a dad, it could be a friend, it could be a mentor, somebody that's really affected you in a way, inspired you in a way where you created great change in your life. Listen, the stories are open. We love to hear them. A great weekend for this. You can call our phone lines at 312-981-7200. You can also text us at the same line, 312-981-7200. The best story, we'll bring them on the air. We'll let them tell their story on the air, and we'll give away a prize pack to that person. So let's have it, folks. All right. So who's a fan of Disney World?
I am.
You are?
Yes. Oh, it's been a while.
I am on so many levels, but I'm not. I was there just a couple months ago, and it's a magnificent place. It really is. One of the most wonderful places. But when I come back, I feel like I have post-traumatic Disney disorder. You know what I mean? Like you just can't shake it. The amount of people and the stress, and for it to be the most fun place on the earth, at the same time, it's probably the most stressful place on the earth. I mean, I don't know how if you don't go with a lot of young kids, do you, Elif?
Well, no. When I went was when I was a young kid still.
Big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you are a young kid, it's the best place in the world. When you're the adult taking the young kid, completely different story.
But I understand that.
As a designer, though, I totally dig and geek out on what they got going on in terms of all of their cool set designs. And you walk into some of these places, and I mean, it's just amazing how they recreate and capture moments in history and bring their stories to life. And it's funny because this week's secret, dirty little secret, is how Disney makes ugly stuff disappear.
Okay.
It's like magic. It has nothing to do with wizardry or witches or anything like that. Disney parks have many secrets, but a certain one recently made my ears perk up. They've developed a paint color that makes unsightly things disappear. Oh, this could be sorcery, but it doesn't come from Tinkerbell's wand. It's just a versatile hue of affectionately called a color called Go Away Green. Apartment Therapy brought it to our attention, which is a cross between gray. It's a color is a cross between gray and green. It's an unassuming shade that blends well with the landscape. So it's often used on utility trucks, back doors, and other less magical sites that Disney doesn't want to bring attention to. And now if you think about what I'm talking about and you kind of in your mind visualize Disney World, do you now see maybe like the garbage can? Like, oh, I didn't even kind of notice that. Or that garage door that's hidden part in the back of a set. This is the magic color they use on all of it.
Interesting.
So, and I'm wondering if it's bottled. I'm going on with this research here. Disney often uses green shades on garbage cans. And yes, there's an entire blog called Magical Trash devoted to that. To spotting the garbage cans at Disney. So apparently this, I wish I would have had this article before I went to Disney because I would have been on a hunt to find all these things. But that's how I'd pass my time at Disney.
Well, when I have kids, I'll report back and I'll tell you about them.
I'll talk to you in about 20 years or so.
Yes.
So I think this idea can work beyond Disney as a budget-friendly way to cloak elements that draw attention away from a beautiful landscape, like a planter could be a good place to use this green paint. And I would imagine we could probably make this. I don't think it's a proprietary Disney product. We just got to play with the right tone of green and gray, mix those together. It's almost, I'm thinking, like the Statue of Liberty color in New York.
Okay.
You got that visual now? Like that greenish gray? Mm-hmm. I think that, if you like planters and the contrast that colors and planters could do, great. If you want to blend in, like say you have a garden with a lot of pots and you don't want to really have the pots pop out of it in terms of color, this could be a great color to use for that, especially if you have exposed garbage cans. You know, if some people have no other place but to put the garbage cans on the side of their house or something with nothing to hide it. Instead of those ugly, you know, recycled green and blue cans, what if you painted them all this magical, you know, green that Disney uses, and it, voila, disappears. I bet they're in Disney, they definitely sprinkle some fairy dust into that. They have to.
They have to. I don't think we can acquire that easily.
You don't think so?
No.
That could be interesting, though. Let's see. I'll work on where we can get this problem-solving paint, the magical paint from Disney, and I'll report back when I hear. As a matter of fact, my friend Kathleen Henson's there now. Maybe I can get her to ask some people around there, or steal some if she can get some.
And she should take some pictures, too, and send them to us.
I will. Kathleen, if you're listening, which you just may be, go ahead and do that for us. All right. And then I got some interesting hot home sale news in the world of celebrity. You know that artist, you might have heard of him before, Andy Warhol?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a little known artist. He had a home in the Hamptons Beach, and it's for sale now. It's, a matter of fact, in this week's top 10 homes. It's purchased in 1972 for the mere price of $225,000. You want to take a stab? As a matter of fact, why don't we do this? We are taking your inspirational stories. We want to hear them. We definitely think it's very cool. And we will repeat these stories and talk about them on the air, and you'll get to win one. But maybe we should do a contest, Elif, of somebody who can guess the price of Andy Warhol's. Nah, they can Google it. Forget it. Let's not Google that. The house is now for sale for a mere $85 million.
Oh, I can buy that.
Totally. I mean, picture this. In 1972, you bought a house for $225. In the year 2015, it's worth $85 million. Now, let's find out a little bit about the Andy Warhol Hamptons home. We all know Andy Warhol was a strange, shy fellow, a few words, who invented an image of himself so wacky that he couldn't be ignored. His timing for his white wig and pop art paintings of soup cans, as well as timed as Eisenhower's blobbity-blobbity here and blibbity-blobbity, let's see. A little more wild and kinky edge he brought to the world of art. His 1963 triple Elvis painting of three Elvis Presleys. I've never seen that one. Have you?
No, I haven't.
I've seen the soup cans. Yeah. I got to say, I'm not a huge Warhol fan, but I guess that somebody bought that in 2014, the three Elvis Presley gunslingers artwork from Andy Warhol. Guess how much?
A few million.
Oh, way more than a few. $81 million.
Holy moly. That's as much as his house.
You got to be... yeah, it's almost as much. His house was $85 million. But you got to be crazy rich if you're buying a painting for $81 million. One painting.
I mean, I think it sounds like a cool painting, but I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah. So having already spent time in the Hamptons, Andy and Morrissey decided that buying real estate there would be a good investment. So they went on a research trip. And to find something they can invest to, their decision to buy the church estate in Montauk for $225,000, a cost at which would be shared between the both of them. So they didn't even pay the full amount. They split that. God, that was some great investment opportunity back then. This would turn out to be the best investment Warhol ever made. It was built by the church family of Arm & Hammer baking soda as a fishing camp. By the time they took ownership in 1972 until Warhol's death in 1987, the stream of celebrity guests and renters put Montauk on the international map. So his Montauk home was like single-handedly responsible for the celebrity boom in the Hamptons. So people like John Lennon, John Phillips, Mick Jagger all stayed there. And just think, you could stay there now, too, for the mere cost of $85 million. Woo! Got to work a couple more night shifts here at WGN to earn that. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break, and we'll bring in our first guest right after that. We'll be talking to Eric Rothman, Principal of Design, about how to inspire your home.